Would you please turn with me in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. I put a note in your bulletin again. It's about the passage I'm going to be working on from 1 Samuel chapter 8 through 10. And I call it a false start. It's a false start. You'll see how I came up with the name by the time we end with this. But in our account, our story opens up in 1 Samuel chapter 8 with people who are disgruntled and upset. You and I have watched many TV programs where, in some case, someone came up with a scheme, an idea to make more money. And it would have been like a guy who's a contractor. And he's participating in putting up a building. And he needs to make up time. And to do that, so he can make more money, he has to bypass certain rules. Well, to accomplish that, you have to have somebody who is in agreement with you in bypassing rules. So you go to the inspector, and the inspector does something. You bring him out to dinner, and then you sort of slide this envelope across the table to him, and he just goes, "Thank you very much," and he sticks it in his pocket. So, several weeks later, something happens on the job site. The inspector comes in, he goes up to the contractor, and he screams in his ear and says, "You should have done that," and stuff like that. The contractor goes, oh, he's always pecking on me, always pecking on me. But the inspector never writes him up. So he just gave him an earful. But the contractor keeps doing the same stuff because he never got written up. We've seen it all in TV programs like that, haven't you? We've all watched something where an envelope got passed across the table and it very quietly slides up someone's sleeve. Well, that's how our story is going to open up. But with a contractor, in the end, usually there's a building or something goes wrong, and as a result, then the spaghetti hits the fan and everybody gets dirty. And that's what's going to happen in our case. How many of you are familiar with the New York State Thruway? Do you know there was a bridge that was built in Schoharie? And when the contractors built it, they didn't put a proper footing in under the bridge. Before, you know, they dam off the creek there in Schoharie, and what they do is they divert it, and then you were supposed to put in a footer, and then what they would do is they would put in stones that would ramp up before you get to the column that holds up the bridge. That would then keep the water from flushing away the foundation. Well, they didn't do that. Now, of course, the bridge didn't get flushed away the first week. It only took 30 years. And then one night, in the middle of a cold winter evening, the ice was pushing through and stuff like that was going through, and it flushed away the foundation. And the bridge collapsed. Several cars went into it. A tractor trailer finally pulled up, saw what was happening, slowed down, and used his tractor trailer to block off the bridge on the one side. Had his flashers on. Saved a lot of lives. Well, how come that happened? Well, the inspectors sort of went along with that after an investigation they found. But the inspector was now long gone. He had passed away. This story is something similar to this, and we're going to hear it in a minute. What I'm going to point out to you today is in chapter 8, Israel demands a king. And verse 7 tells us, and they are going to reject the Lord, their king. By the time we get to verses 10 through 18, Samuel is going to warn the people about a king. Then in verses 19 through 22, the Lord grants Israel's request. That's something about, we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God and human responsibility rubbing up against one another. In chapter 9, Saul is chosen to be a king. I pointed out to Jan last night that I took my red pen this week, and I, you won't have another half hour extra today. I tried to get rid of that. But there's an important issue there. Verse 21. The false start and why. This is where we hear the false start, and that's why I chose the title and why, and I gave you the verse. Anyways, once we get to chapter 10, Saul anoints Samuel as king, and then in verses 19 through 16, Samuel's signs are fulfilled. He's going to make promise, tell him this is what's going to happen, this is the sequence. And then down at the bottom, we have through, I said 26, 17 through 26, it's 27. I'm sorry, I had a moment, senior moment there, and a lapse. And Saul is proclaimed as king. And what's significant is verse 19. All the tribes reject God and demand set a king over us. Now, this is the problem with a false start. And this is how the sovereignty of God and human responsibility rub against one another. I wanted to make it all the way through chapter 12, which is going to be, Lord willing, next week, because it's all one account, and this is one aspect of it. So let's take a look at the word. Notice with me the first three verses, 1 Samuel chapter 8, and verses 1 through 3. Israel demands a king. When Saul became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn son was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba, yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Well, we need to understand that Samuel is somewhere between 50 and 60 years old by this time, and he had several sons, and the first two of his sons were elevated to being judges. Now, they were not the judge. That was Saul, or Samuel himself, but he had his sons helping him and assisting him in judging. There was so much work going on. Now, there's a significance here in that it tells us where they were doing this. It was Beersheba. Now, the significance of this means this. From north to south, Jerusalem is in the middle of Israel. But 45 miles south, on the lowest outskirts of the border, was Beersheba. The sons are in the outback. They're in the middle of nowhere of Israel. The little towns, that little place in the middle of nowhere. And that's what they're doing. And while they're in the